The Lord be with you.
And with
you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus told his disciples a parable. Can a blind person guide a blind person? Will not both fall into a pit? No disciple is superior to the teacher, but when fully trained, every disciple will be like his teacher. Why do you notice the splinter in your brother's eye, but do not perceive the wooden beam in your own? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me remove that splinter in your eye," when you do not even notice the wooden beam in your own eye? You hypocrite. Remove the wooden beam from your eye first. Then you will see clearly to remove the splinter in your brother's eye. A good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. For every tree is known by its own fruit. For people do not pick figs from thorn bushes, nor do they gather grapes from brambles. A good person, out of the store of goodness in his heart, produces good. But an evil person, out of a store of evil, produces evil. For from the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Can I share with you a little bit of trivia just for fun here this morning? It's a little tiny bit of trivia. You know, with Easter as a movable feast and with Ash Wednesday as a movable feast, different day every year, there's some readings that we never hear or almost never hear because they always get blocked by Lent. These readings that we just got finished hearing, we heard these readings for the last time 18 years ago. You haven't heard these readings from the 8th Sunday of Ordinary Time since 2001. And there won't be a 9th Sunday of Ordinary Time because next week is Lent. A little tiny bit of trivia for you. You know, the next time we'll ever hear a 9th Sunday of Ordinary Time from this cycle, it'll be the year 2046, just as we're paying off our church mortgage, right? Just kidding. That has absolutely nothing to do with my homily here this morning. I was reading an interesting article recently, and it referenced a Hollywood screenwriter who is answering the question, what does it take to write a great movie? It was really interesting, the answer. He said, the secret to writing a great script is creating a believable villain. And the secret to creating a believable villain is to understand that the villain doesn't think of himself as a villain. The villain thinks he's a hero. Very interesting, that point. You know, that a genuine villain doesn't think that they're doing harm. They actually think that they're doing good, which is precisely what makes them so harmful, right? They might actually be doing great evil. Maybe they're kidnappers. Maybe they're drug runners. Maybe they're terrorists. They might actually be doing very great evil. But isn't it interesting that even in the movies, nobody wakes up in the morning and thinks, how can I do evil today? Every real villain thinks he's a hero. Very interesting point to think about. And while you're thinking about that, think about this. Our Lord says, a good tree does not bear rotten fruit, nor does a rotten tree bear good fruit. A good person, out of the store of goodness in his heart, produces good. An evil person, out of the store of evil, produces evil. Here's a secret from the human heart, and it is as old as creation. One of the deep, dark secrets of the human heart is that God made us with a desire to do what's good, to seek what's good. And that desire is so strong that we will tell ourselves that we're doing good, even when we know that we're not. We'll tell ourselves that we're doing good even when we're not sure. We'll try to convince ourselves that we're doing good even when we're erroneous, badly mistaken about what the nature of goodness is. And that explains a lot of things about human behavior. It explains why people can get so passionately angry at somebody else's sins and at the exact same moment be so forgiving and rationalizing of all of their own sins. It explains why people who are the first to criticize somebody else are the very last to recognize their own faults. It explains why people posture to remove the splinter from their brother's eye, while all the while having a wooden beam protruding out of their own. Been that way all down through history. You know something that I like to do? I like to read the last known words of famous people. It can be very, very telling. Emperor Nero, who threw the early Christians to the lions, who killed Saint Peter, who burned his own city, who killed his own mother. Lovely fellow, Emperor Nero. Last known words of Emperor Nero were, "What a great artist this world is losing in me." Hermann Göring, commander of the Luftwaffe, co-architect of the concentration camps of World War II. Last known words of Hermann Göring, 50 years from today, there will be statues to my honor all across Germany. Our Lord told his apostles that the day would come when people who put them to death would think that they were doing God's work. So with all that as a background, here's the $64 question. If the most dastardly villain thinks he's a hero, and if he thinks that his evil is good, then who's to say what's actually good and what's actually evil? Who's to say? If this was an hour-long lecture instead of a 10-minute homily, I would love to get into that in great detail, because really interesting subject, but let me just jump right to the conclusion. Our Lord says, and it's in this line, a good tree does not bear bad fruit. A bad tree cannot bear good fruit. You will know the tree by the fruit it produces. And what I'd ask you to think about, just in addition to that this week, is that you can't bear good fruit if you don't have a good root. No good root, no good fruit. And what is good fruit anyway? Another big subject that I'm just going to jump right to the conclusion and tell you. St. Paul gives us a list of what good fruit is. It's in the letter to the Galatians chapter 5. These are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patient endurance, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Fruits of the Holy Spirit. Why are they good? You want to know why they're good? Because when you see them lived in somebody's life, it's so indisputably beautiful. It's what made the saints the saints. Like you look at a Mother Teresa of Calcutta or Francis of Assisi or a Vincent de Paul, people who loved their enemies, who did good to those who hate them, who blessed those who cursed them, who prayed for those who persecuted them. Such indisputably good actions can only flow from a good root. In other words, beautiful actions come from true and beautiful beliefs. And then you take your dastardly villain, doesn't matter what he thinks in his own mind, you know him by the fruits that he produces. St. Paul, once again, first in his letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, he lists the fruits that come from an evil spirit. Acts of selfishness, immorality, impurity, licentiousness, jealousy, envy, rivalries, idolatry, sorcery, dissensions, factions, drunkenness, hatred, outbursts of rage. Think what you want about yourself, but if those are the actions that you're living by, what you do speaks so loud I can't hear what you say. That is how you tell what is truly good and what is truly evil. And again, no good root, no good fruit. You want to know what the good root is? It's the cross. You want to bear good fruit in your life? Model your life on the mystery of the Lord's cross. That's the root that produces the fruit. If you ever get a chance to go to Rome, there's a basilica, it's called the San Clemente. And they don't have a crucifix in their church. Instead, on their back wall, they have a great big mosaic, and the mosaic is their crucifix. And if you look really carefully, the crucifix is actually a great big tree. It's growing out of the ground. And it's got all these vines growing out of the crucifix, and the vines are bearing all these great big fruits with the message that every good thing in your life flows out of the love of the Lord's cross. And I'll mention this before, it bears worth mentioning again. What does that mean? What does that look like? Okay. You look at your life and you ask yourself, what in my life do I wish I could change, but I can't change it? Or to put it another way, if I could hand you a magic wand, I could say, wave this magic wand to make disappear out of your life something that you'd love to get rid of, what would you get rid of? Whatever that thing is your cross. And the shocking message, that is the most sacred thing in your life. If you can take that and say to the Lord, I don't like this, I don't understand this, but Lord, I still believe in you. That's the root that bears the good fruit. Now don't misunderstand, okay? If you can change it, you're supposed to change it. We're supposed to right what wrong, to fix what evil we can fix, right? If it's wrong, you want to right it. We're not masochists. But when you can't change it, that gracious acceptance of God's providence is the root that bears the good fruit. Most sacred place in your whole life. One of my favorite lines in all the scriptures comes from Psalm 84. And it describes the friends of God and the effects they have on others as they make their way through life. It says, as they make their way through the bitter valley, they make it a place of springs. They walk with ever-growing strength. What's the bitter valley? Well, I'm sorry to say it, but this life is the bitter valley, right? And we all got to make our way through the bitter valley. But wouldn't it be great if you made your way through the bitter valley, you made it a place of springs for yourselves and for others. That's what happens for those who are rooted in the cross. Our Lord hates hypocrisy, hates it. Go through the New Testament, he reserves all of his harshest condemnations for hypocrisy. None of us wants to be a hypocrite. None of us wants to be a villain who thinks he's a hero. And if we want that to be true of ourselves, model your life on the mystery of our Lord's cross. That's why I'm so fond of saying that if today you hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Amen.